Well, you know, we've had an interesting couple of services here this morning, and I was interested in one of the comments that Davey put in the chat. A thing that I missed, but it, you know, I thought it was available in context, but it's my job to make it clear. So we're talking about the charge we have as Christians who come together in fellowship to provoke one another to love and good works, right? And I skipped some verses and went down to the payoff, you know, the thing that we're supposed to hang on for. As soon as I can find out where that was. Okay, here it is. Because the threat of out of Hebrews 10:27, a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. If we separate ourselves from the body, it's like the John 15, abiding in the vine. If you're a branch that's no longer with the vine, you're
cut off.
Yeah, you're cut off. No life in you. You're not in the body. It's there's no life. You're dead. So, and you've moved from a friend, or at least a potential of getting to be a friend of the Lord's, to the camp of the adversary. And the idea that out of verse 26, if we sin willfully after we've received knowledge of the truth, remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's taking yourself out of the fellowship of the body, out of the fellowship of the saints, and taking yourself out of the body of Christ is kind of the final stroke of sin. I mean, it's after you have entered in, when we get to heaven, you separate yourself from the body, you're dead. There's no more offering. You can't put Jesus back on the cross. In verse 31, it says, "A fearful thing, fall in the hands of the living God." It's terror, literally, to fall in the hands of the living God. But he says, call in the former, remembrance the former days after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly why you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly why you became companions of them that were so used. they mocked. They made a mocking example out of these people. You had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourselves, in yourselves, that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance.
They won't pay the price.
And that brings us to the payoff. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. This, you know, hanging in there and enduring the struggle of both provoking others and being provoked yourself to stay within that body, to stay within the Lord's ways, and it has a payoff and a reward, and it's getting, you know, to stay with the Father for eternity. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And this patience is an unswerving commitment to the end goal, which is pleasing the Lord. pleasing the Lord. Just no matter what comes against you, you never deviate from that path. That's what patience is. For yet a little while, he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, and this drawing back is from the fellowship of the saints.
Yeah.
Removing themselves from the body. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is one of those things where if it doesn't look like you're doing things, you're doing the word, you're pleasing, or if what you're doing doesn't look like Jesus, you're not in a good place. There's no guarantee of the recompense of reward. And you have to do that by faith. That means you believe him. You believe him. You believe this is his way. You honor his way. I don't want the testimony of the Lord to be, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But now the just shall live by faith. And of course I went directly to the next chapter in verse 6, 11:6, which is,
but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
That's right. So you have to realize you can't please him without faith. And if your goal is an unswerving commitment to please him, then you have to remain faithful to his way and his word, and believe his word. But he that cometh God must believe that he is. He is who he says he is. He's God.
Amen.
He's the one in charge.
Kind of reminds me.
And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a payoff because he's good. And he has delivered us his way.
Amen.
And I did miss the idea of what it was. This is more about in verse 10:38. But if any man draw back from the commitment of faith, from the instruction not to forsake the gathering together of the saints. For the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is a matter of some end, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching when this is going to make or break for you in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
To get it right here, get it right now. And it doesn't become an ordeal. It's not an ordeal. It's the life. It's the light. It's the Spirit. It's one mind, one body, one Lord. It's not an arduous or grievous thing to do. It's just if you're a plant, you're gonna go up to the light, right?
Amen.
Well,
yeah. Well, we're looking at Hebrews 10 in light of the life in the body of Christ. And in, is it 26? No, sorry, it's up higher. It says, you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. And certainly part of the will of God is to maintain fellowship with each other. Why do you need patience? Because everybody you're keeping fellowship with is as you are. They're still in his flesh. And you can be doing the right thing, the godly thing, the best thing, giving to yourself, which is no more than your reasonable service. But if you're looking for a pat on the back or somebody to notice, you might go a long time without hearing that. You have need of patience to maintain the will of God. And I'd also tag in there behind it, and I don't, maybe you can help me with the reference on this, Paul or Phil, but every piece of the body brings something that other parts of the body lack.
Makes it whole.
Yeah. Makes the body whole. We're to function together as a body.
That's right.
I may not be a head or a foot. I may be something very minor, but I'm still needful to the body. If I draw back, I not only suffer and put myself at risk, But in effect, I cause suffering or, at a minimum, a lack of growth in the body and possibly even put my brothers and sisters at risk.
We become part of what Steve was talking about this bad judgment, this deciding I can justify myself and that I'm better than somebody else. Or it, and that's really what a withdrawal from the body is. It's,
right.
Lord, I don't want your way right now. Right now, I think my way is better.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy. I got stuff going on.
We had a football game going on here and other stuff. We're just busy. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, you know, one of the scriptures that comes to mind, I think Steve mentioned it before, is not grow weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
You know, and this is kind of a lot of what it's talking about, is because it's just the ongoing, that patience, that unswerving loyalty, that you trust the Lord. And, you know, as Paul has mentioned, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he is... For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In him is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. You know, so if we believe this, we keep pressing forward in the trusting Lord, and we know that the Lord is good, and we know that the Lord answers that.
Sometimes the reward is not now. Sometimes it's
like
dedication.
Amen.
You might have to repeat what he was saying because he didn't say it into the mic.
You have to have patience because the reward may not be something you can see now. It may be something that you see later on. I know if you talk to, you know, Davey, the guys that have been around a long time, you could be looking at literally decades of time for somebody to come around and finally everything clicks into place.
Amen. You know, and that's part of, you know, I also think of Romans 8 will be where Paul talks about we glory in tribulation as well, because we know the Lord's good. You know, I take a look, I said this thing last week as well, you take Paul the Apostle, he went out and he preached the gospel, was cast in the prison, stoned and everything, but the reward of that he's seen at the end, in Romans, locked up, and he's seen all the churches established, the ones that were after the Lord and that would hear his word. Was worth it. That was a reward.
Yeah, and also in this passage, this church that was choosing to maintain fellowship with Paul as he was in bonds, he mentions the fact they lost their goods. They had outside persecution, I don't know. Somebody was taking away their stuff. So they're in the middle of this fiery trial, losing everything they worked for, but they didn't step back. They chose to maintain fellowship with Paul.
I think some of that was a contrivance to make sure that they didn't have the wherewithal to bail him out.
Yeah.
Could be.
So.
And we have these examples here, you know, I'm doing a little bit of history with my girls, and we have these examples here in the scripture, but, you know, you also have it in examples as I'm reading about the pilgrims coming over, and they forsook everything because they were having fellowship and getting locked up over there because they weren't going to the King's Church. But, you know, one of the reasons why America was founded, they wanted to worship the Lord freely. And they sacrificed and they had a diligence. There's times things didn't go very well. Half of them died. Well, they lost all their stuff. But it didn't matter because they wanted to serve the Lord freely. You know? And you see, what do we have? America.
And that's,
you know,
that's the casting away, not casting away the confidence with the great recompense of reward. It's not just obedience and compliance with an evil dictator type God just because he can demand it of you. He's trying to put you in a place where you can be blessed.
You know, it's...
He wants to bless you, loves you, wants to bless you. Listen, you know...
You know, there's one pilgrim story that came to mind, and they were going to go to Holland at this time. They went to Holland before they went to America, and they were going to Holland, and they said, you know, here comes the boat coming down on them. The captain wouldn't wait on the rest of the women and the children, some of the men that were left behind. They couldn't get there. They were late. They found out what was going, and they were chasing down the captain. The captain leaves. And the captain feels bad because of what happened to these women and children in the back. And, you know, big old storm. They prayed the storm was calmed. In the midst of all this going on, the judges did not know what to do with the women and children because they had already left and they were alone. They didn't know where to place the women and the children. So the judges say, well, just let them go to Holland with the rest of the group. You know, that's a praise the Lord. That's the diligence. That's how awesome the Lord was. You know, and I just looked at that. And this is a children's book I'm reading here. And, you know, that's awesome. That's how awesome the Lord is. So,
and we sit there and we look at what, you know, appears to be a dreadful occurrence in the struggle that James and, you know, Rosemary going through with Steve. But, you know, the Lord had James there to minister to this guy in his trauma. And,
amen.
You know, it was stunk to be James, but, you know, if you want the Lord to show up dramatically, you have to be in extraordinary ways, you have to be in extraordinary circumstances. Now, this might not have been something... Might not have been something James would have chosen, but James, you know, James was smart enough to know, oh, Lord, this is above me. I need you here.
You know, and in that, I mean, let's take a look. I mean, it's not what James would have chose, but praise God that James was there.
Yeah,
if he wasn't. If he wasn't, what would have been a different outcome?
Yeah.
Would have been a different outcome. But he was there.
His grace right and mercy to somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
Just by being available to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's really what we're charged to do. And if we're being doers of the word, and not hearers only, as we go back to referencing James, which... frustrates you greatly for some reason. Like, oh no, we're talking about James again. Okay.
No, I'm not frustrated. I'm not.
Well, you, no. But you had that look on your face when we started.
No, I'm thinking about some other stuff that's coming through my mind at the moment.
James is pretty black and white, and it's like John's, you know, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar.
Yeah.
There's no wiggle room. No wiggle room in any of that. So, to me, you know, we go through all this and in Hebrews, and there's a lot of explanation of the way the law is and the system that Jesus came to be the fulfillment thereof. And then we come to Hebrews 11, and 11 is the glorious one. 11 is the one that bridges all that ceremony and compulsion and compliance. It bridges it to the actual connection of how you join yourself to the body, how you enter in to pleasing God. You don't get there until you get to 11:6. If you don't understand that you can't please Him without faith, and you can't even fear Him rightly without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that's a second witness within the same book about not losing your confidence because of the recompense of reward. He's got this reward built in.
Well, you can't have that confidence if you don't believe that He is God, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you're not, I mean, if you don't believe that, you're going to fade away. And look, it's easy. You just start in that, and to fade away. That's why it says, be not weary in well-doing. That's why we also have the scriptures, and you know, and I'm looking at Hebrews 12, where it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds."
Yeah.
And it's okay to look for that reward. It says Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He wasn't a masochist. He didn't want to do that. And it's written to Moses. Was it Paul wrote to Moses? That he forsook all the riches of Egypt because he esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. So the fact that we're looking for the best God has to give us, that's Christ himself thought that way. It's okay. There's some things I really want. The question is, what are the things I really want? And that's why I need you guys. Because sometimes I forget, and I need you guys to provoke me. Sometimes I need you guys to call me, show up, you know, shake my tree a little bit. And you know, I'm grateful you're here.
Well, praise God. And that's talking about that fellowship. We all need that reminders. Hey, this is what it's about. This is about how much do we get caught. You know, in the beginning of this is, "Wherefore see we seen or compassed about with so great a cloud of mist. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We forget. I know I forget how much our mind starts to go on to other things that don't matter. No. I mean, we get carried away so easily on things that just doesn't matter, and we forget the big picture. We're all bound up with a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter, and then when we come to the fellowship, we praise God, we have authorities and others to say, "Hey, remember what it's about. Remember what it's about. It's about Jesus and his way." You know?
Yeah. It is Timothy? About the good soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this world. Stuff that's not important. You got a mission, you got a goal, you're trying to do this one thing, and you really only have room to worry about that mission. Not the entanglements and the cares of this world, which, going back to the parable of the seed and the sower in Matthew 13, those cares can snatch those without foundation and root and snatch them out. And that's, you don't want to minister those cares and to people you're trying to minister the Lord to. And they will pick up on that. So there you go.
Yeah, what do you really want? That's what it is. What do you really want? I heard an old black preacher, this is probably 30 years ago, at a tent revival or something. And he said, "Ain't no power like the power of a made-up mind." Well, what do you want? If you're willing to actively, totally pursue Christ, I mean, he said, "Knock, and it'll be open. Seek, and you'll find. Ask, it shall be given." But you can't have everything your way. If you're going to do this thing, I mean, we're looking at Hebrews. These guys lost their material possessions, apparently. What did Paul give up? Actually, what did Paul keep? The Apostle Paul laid down everything and counted it as dung. And I got to say, I'm not there yet.
When you look in 2 Corinthians, where is it? You start talking about in 11, all the stuff he's been through. I put myself in any of those circumstances, and I'm going, "Well, I'd be there the next day."
Just about when he got beaten and stoned.
Yeah, yeah.
Shipwrecked,
snake bit, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But you know that he had that mindset to press toward that mark.
Yeah, he had the soldier doesn't entangle himself with things of the world, and all this other stuff that was coming on was things of the world, man. I'm going to Rome.
Yeah.
And
like the disciples, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." "No, get in the boat. Up comes a storm. You sleep."
You know, if you read the beginning of chapter 10, you know, he was talking about what are we after? What you were saying, Brad. You know, the beginning of chapter 10 is talking about to do thy will, O God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Paul, in looking at all his afflictions, he in one place he says, he's dealing with this, that, and the other, and that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Right.
Why was Timothy Timothy? Because Paul's record of Timothy is, I have no other man. That's a heck of a statement. I have no other man who will naturally care for you. Timothy, like Paul, had absolutely placed the work of Christ above all his own ambitions.
Yeah. And apparently those who can hang in with their face set toward the goal are few and far between.
It may be a digression, but do you think
maybe that's why America is in the state it's in? It's just so easy to do so well right now. Do things have to slide a little bit for us to really look up?
That is our nature, isn't it?
Old Steve Camp song, "Shake Me to Wake Me." Is that really what this is? Is this the mercy of God on His people and not just the judgment of God on an errant nation?
Well, you know, kind of go back to Hebrews 12 on that. The sin which so does so easily beset us.
Unbelief.
That would be a song to put in there.
Steve Camp, "Shake Me to Wake Me."
It's
had it going on, man.
Undue, but you know, it takes, you know, to strip me, Lord, of everything that isn't pleasing to you. And, you know, I mean that. It is solely about our mission is to learn, believe His Word, to learn how to please Him, and to be doers of His Word.
Amen.
And look, therefore, like Jesus, who did nothing but what the Father gave Him to do.
Absolutely.
He said what the Father gave Him to say, and He kept those the Father gave Him to keep. That's our job.
Amen.
Well, and that's also the pathway to peace. And Ricky's house went vacant, and it's, when this happens, it's just time-wise, it's a kick in the teeth for me. Y'all see me mope and whine and struggle and stuff, and I called Charlie, and he said, well, I love talking to Charlie. There's not much slack in Charlie's rope concerning me, but he said, you know, you need to look at it like this is the opportunity for you to serve your brothers, this is the opportunity to serve God. So, you know, I'm about thick as a brick. So I got up yesterday, and it's a little warm, and I'm by myself. And, I mean, you can imagine my mindset drifting right back into the puddle I was trying to crawl out of. But I had a little time on the road, and I was contemplating what Charlie said. And this goes right back to the life of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Charlie's not even local. Charlie loves me as a brother. I know that. I know that because there ain't no slack in Charlie's rope toward me. But I started really mulling this stuff over about, all right, okay, so you're unhappy. Well, the most likely thing here is you're wrong. So what is really going on here? Well, you're serving Jesus Christ, because you're serving a member of His body. And when I started reconciling myself to, that's what today is, this is okay, you know, you're doing the right thing toward Christ, not just toward Ricky, although I love Ricky like a few people. And then, you know what happened? I got happy. I got peaceful. I succeeded in everything I touched. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And that's part of that fellowship. If you weren't, we were talking about the fellowship in the first, and you were talking about undo me, Lord, and getting stripped of these things. Unless we're in that body, that's not going to happen.
And you're going to be miserable.
That's being provoked into love and good works.
Amen. Amen.
Which, you know, goes back to where we were today. So it is what it is.
Yeah, that's a dangerous prayer you brought up, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
Strip me.
Yeah, I know.
Really? Seriously, that's what you want? Because we can get you there, my son. You sure about this?
If you can stand it, I can stand it.
No, I'm kidding. I really am.
Negan's. You can stand Negan's throat. Is that what you're saying?
No, I couldn't stand that either.
Not. Never mind.
I especially couldn't stand that.
My mom says I'm handsome.
Oh, gosh. Let's get back to something. Bail me out here, buddy. Give me something.
Shiny thing. Well, you know, we're talking about, I mean, but we were talking about the do thy will, O God. I mean, that's what we're going to be about. And if that takes that stripping, then praise God. I mean, that's what we need. We don't need ourselves. We need the Lord. We need to be doing about His business so that everything that's not of the Lord needs to be stripped. And if we're serious about that, we will press for that, and we will let the Lord do the work, and we will submit unto His way, you know, because that's simply it, is us making that choice. You know, it's, I forget what scripture we were talking about in Hebrews, but it was talking about the Him that worketh in you, the thing that pleased Him. It's Him that does the work. That Holy Spirit does the work there, and we simply choose to submit unto it and get rid of it. But it's Him that does the work there. You know, just like you were saying earlier, Brad, when you were talking about, okay, well, you know, yeah, you might be unhappy about these things, and, you know, Charlie talked to you and gave you a new perspective, and you what? Chose to submit unto that advice. And then what happened was the Lord worked that which was good in you, and everything that you said touched was blessed, right?
Absolutely.
And that's because of the Lord. And now who gets the glory in that? Not you. Jesus. Because He's the one that done the work. Spirit there done the work.
And now when you're out there with a shovel in the sunshine, which, thank you, Jesus, sometimes being crippled is a real plus. I can't do that. But, you know, now I can come to you and say, it's all right, man, it's all right. But going back to the recompense of the reward, look, man, Bill Clinton said, I feel your pain. I feel my pain. And I don't like stuff like that. But, I mean, Moses had it made in the shade. And he looked at that and said, there's something even better. It's okay. And if I'm in the midst of that, whatever that would be in a given day, I need the peace and joy of God. I'm not saying I can't crawl in your attic and fix your fan or something. I can't. That's that crippled thing again. Thank you, Lord. But I know somebody who can. But if I'm going to be doing that stuff, I need the peace of God in the midst of it.
Hey, man. Well, we just look at just the testimony of last week. You know, the guy wasn't going to show up for the driveway. Well, that means I had to get hard to work. Brad calls me next morning and says, hey, you know, I got somebody coming that can come fix the driveway. I need some help. And I go and I help Brad. We had a great fellowship and time. And I'd lay everything down, help out my brother. What ends up happening, the guy that was originally going to come help calls me and says, hey, I'll be there in the morning. He comes and fixes the driveway. Look, the Lord did all that. And I had a choice in that moment to stress or fret over about the stuff that was on my plate, or I could just lay that down and go help you. I did that. The Lord worked out everything else. Praise God. Yeah. You know, you just had to sink in, and I had opportunity to get some other things done and everything, and it was just a blessed weekend.
It was great for me.
And it was great for me. Brad said it was great for him, and it was great for me. But see, that's the Lord doing the work there.
But how did that happen? It came through His body. Right? If we were both withdrawn from fellowship at that point, then both of us would have suffered.
And you'd still be standing around with your hands in your pocket playing pocket pool going, now what?
You can't say that.
What?
Pocket pool.
Oh.
Hit the bleep button.
We'll have to edit it out of the tape.
But praise God, yes, that goes to that fellowship. And you know what happened to that? I really felt the gravity of what you were going through. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at it. I was there with you. I seen what you're looking at. And it compassion came upon my heart. And I know what to pray for in you. You seen what I'm going through. You see what's laid down on my plate. Well, what do you have? And I know Phil's got a lot on his plate. I'm going to pray for him. I was talking with Jeff the other night, and we were just talking about simple struggles. I usually pray for my day to go absolutely awesome. I found myself praying for Jeff's day to go completely awesome. You know what I'm saying? And
one body.
One body.
If Jeff suffers, you're down too.
Yeah. But if unless we're having this fellowship, we don't know. We don't know. That's one of the things I was touching on this morning, what we were touching on. And
I used to go to Cathedral of Praise, which is a mega church, you know. I mean, I was doing what I knew. And Lisa and I were very, very happy there. But we began attending initially at an Assembly of God out here, but our reasoning was the commute was just simply too long. Just too long, because we were messed up, man. And you can talk to Ricky about that. We were messed up or more. But you're talking about the reason you knew Jeff was having his thing going is because you're involved with Jeff. The reason you knew what I had going is because you're involved with me. Not involved in the sense of you kind of know, but we rub shoulders, what, 3 times a week? Yeah, we're family, man.
Absolutely. And another part of this fellowship that we have, and, you know, it kind of brings me to 1 John again. And 1 John, where it talks about, and I'll just go there. So, you know, we got some time here, don't we?
Yeah.
And here's just another perspective that I want to put on it. Let's see here. 1 John. 1 John, well, we just start... that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about the apostles here.
Yes.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So look, you have the apostles here, their hands have handled the word of life, they looked upon, and they have done it. They have this to what? Bring it forth to us. That's what Paul the apostle did, was it not? And this line of authority, there is no other way except that I can't go another way outside the body and have fellowship with Jesus Christ and the Father. I remember leaving this fellowship many times. My testimony wasn't one like, oh, I received the Lord, set my face forward, and went rocking and rolling. But no, I was in and out like a yo-yo. But one thing I knew, that there was absolutely even no repentance outside the body.
Say it again.
There was no repentance outside the body. And don't get me wrong, when I was out there, there was a time I was looking and I said, Lord, help me. And He did forgive me, but I took my stuff, I left, got my clothes packed in a car, and I was out to Ricky's immediately. I knew where that lifeline was, that life source was. Not that Ricky was great, not that Paul was great. No, because that's the Lord's way. And those were the ministers that He ordained. Because He works through His body. And there was no life outside that. And that's important. And we deceive ourselves if you think there is life outside there and you can do it some other way. You know, Jesus saves any other man come any other way is what? A thief and a robber.
His way is the way.
His way is the way. It's Jesus.
And, you know, we have what? We have, you know, John making these things I write kind of thing. He says over and over again, that which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that we may also, that ye may also have fellowship. Boy, I have screwed that up so many times. That ye also may have fellowship with us. They're writing this, that ye may have fellowship with us, me and the other apostles. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. That comes again to being the way of being connected and in the life of the body. If your body is your arm is disconnected from your body,
all right.
What's going to happen?
It's hard to tie your shoes.
That's what I'm talking about. But I mean, if that disconnected arm stayed there for any length of time, you could sit there and watch it as it, yeah, turned black and skin fall off and all of it stink. If we want to have fellowship with the Father, the only way is to be in His body and participate in the fellowship that those who are over you in authority have with the Father.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen. Absolutely.
You don't get to cut yourself off from those over you in faith and pretend like you're still in the body. It doesn't work that way.
Amen. And this fellowship here is a fellowship of agreeance, too. You know, I look at, you know, so we could talk about obedience and submission here. I mean, there's two different things. You can obey your boss. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you agree with them. You can be quite pissed off at them.
You might be judging the crap out of them.
You might be judging the crap out of them. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What an idiot.
But submitting, yeah. But submitting is...
You're right.
You're right. And I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to diligently seek it out to do it faithfully.
By choice, I
agree with you.
Yeah.
That's this fellowship that we're talking about here as well.
Well, you know, we say, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And a common phrase locally is, Jesus is the way, and His way is the way. And we started out with life in the body. And here you see that the apostles are the top of the chain. And you need fellowship with an apostle. But look at verse 4 in chapter 1. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Amen.
Full circle. You want it? You want peace? You want contentment? Of course you do. Look, if I think I need a different truck or a different stereo or whatever objects I think I need, or maybe relationships, it's not that I want the truck or whatever it would be. It's I want what that thing will do for me. I think it's going to make me happy. You want to be happy? You want to be content? Verse 4, you maintain fellowship with the church, submitted unto an apostle, and you line yourself up to actually be content and joyful.
Amen.
Oh wow, I was looking at chapter 4. Sweet.
How's that going for you?
Hey, you probably got something there.
Well, the verse 4 I was looking at is an entirely different verse 4.
Well, expound.
What chapter are you in?
4.
It's chapter 4.
4-4. I was wondering why it wasn't reading the same. It says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome the world, those antichrist spirits that are in the world, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's another confidence you got to not let go of. And you know, in the Gospel of John, where He says, take heart, you know, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world.
That's exactly what went through my mind before you said it. Yeah.
Doesn't say there's no rocks in your road.
It actually guarantees you the tribulation.
Hang on to the word of truth, then you can be delivered to the confidence of the recompense.
After that you've suffered a while.
You know, the confidence isn't that you're not going to suffer a while or go through trials. The trials, what does the word say about the trials? The trials are to prove your faith.
Amen.
Peter, right? Beloved, think not strength.
And, you know, that's, you know, part of that tribulation. Let's face it. As a Christian, if you're truly walking within the fellowship of Jesus Christ, the world's going to hate you. You're going to have more than just a regular person.
Well, you want to know whether the faith you've got is going to deliver you or not. If it doesn't, then you need to know that. Because that needs to be dealt with.
That's fix it here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's what I'm getting at. So, you know, it says, that's why it says we glory in tribulations also. You know,
it's all very practical. If you look at it with the eyes.
And a lot of the tribulations, we can go to James and talk about where any man that says he has tried, he's not, it's by his own lust
Yeah,
he's not tempted. He's not tempted of God, but by his own lust. And, you know, we look at that, and it's, you know, there's tribulation. Some of the stuff that we go through is the tribulation, is the shedding of the crap that isn't of the Lord, and getting over ourselves and being about his business. Absolutely. 9 times out of 10, that is the tribulation.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah, the source of most of the stuff we go through is us having to cast off
this carnal man. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I sit there and I read John. First John makes me just want to grin the way he handles stuff. But and there's just so many good things that he, you know, bestows on us. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Well, we is his body.
Yeah. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we want to be made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. How many ways does John say this between the gospel and his epistles?
Many.
You think this might be important?
Very important. Yeah. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Right.
Yeah, and if you pair off,
and you hear this a lot too, is that love is preference, agape love, preference, and that hate is a lack of preference. So if I'm not willing to help you, then it may well be that I'm bound up in fear, because if I give you my Saturday and I don't do what I need to do, then my stuff didn't get done. I'm afraid.
The fear can take many forms. I'm fearful that I'm not going to be able to get what I need when my time comes.
Yeah.
And that's just being able to overcome our need in ourselves to take care of ourselves.
Control.
If our heart was, you know, to beseech the Lord for our needs and know that he knows our needs before we ask him, and his desire is to meet our needs.
Well, that's
then we would not be out trying to see to it that we take care of number one.
That's part of the be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, that also goes back to, unless you humble yourself like as one of these little ones, you shall not, by the message of Scripture, receive the kingdom of God. I mean, and that's trusting the Lord for all of it. That's giving that control to him. Following his path. Letting go of all the rest. And trusting him with it. I tell you, when you know, we go to Timothy, where it says, the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. You know, and it's his love that overcomes all this fear that we have. You know, I look at jobs, and there's days I wake up, I'm fearful of going into my job. Fearful. Scared that I won't be able to perform or make it through the day or whatever it may need. And just completely utterly fail.
Some of us don't have any choice about looking stupid.
Why are you looking at me?
But when you grab a hold of that love and that victory, and you take authority over it, and you cast that fear down, and you put on his mind, all that stuff goes away. It does not matter.
Right.
And it's a fight to put that thing off, man. But that's what... When you're there, you know, it's also a choice. Very good.
You choose to have faith in Jesus Christ to meet your needs. You choose to prefer your brother over yourself. You choose to lay down your life, not tomorrow. Jesus said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. I don't know what tomorrow is, but I can do what you need done today. I can meet your needs today, and I can trust Christ for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, how is this going to come back around?
Well, praise God we have this opportunity now. And if we want to be that army, that's what we'll be doing. That's what we'll be doing.
And when we trust the Lord for that, in us is His love being perfected.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see the people around me come to know Christ. And how are they going to see it? I mean, this same John, isn't he the one that said they'll know you're Christians by your love for one another? They'll know you love me by your love for one another?
They know you're my disciples by your love
for another. They know you're my disciples by your love one for another. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's not a love of filial, sui, gui, affection, although that will and rightfully should be with it. But when people, I hope, and I tell people, if you want to know what my fellowship is like, the thing that's different is that we're involved with each other, and you got people around here, when it all hits the fan, they step up. You know, where are you going to find that?
You know, and that is the fruit, is love. I mean, you know, you take it, they will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Look, if people come in, they're going to know that they're Jesus' disciples by their love for one another. But if we're like the Pharisees, which we can so easily slip into, backbiting, you know, judging
others, yeah,
preferring yourself, making yourself something that you're not, ain't nobody going to want no part to do with that. They're going to turn around, walk right away, and don't blame them. Good.
Seen this before.
Yeah.
Done this before.
Yeah.
They joined the Moose Lodge. They got beer.
Oh, me. So, let's see. What else? Let's do, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. We understand who we're talking about here.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Could you extend that out to say the church is begotten of God? Is that reasonable? I don't
know. Well, it should be.
How can I say I love Christ and be the Lone Ranger Christian out there? That doesn't fit. Is there ever a reference in the Bible to a saint singular, or is it always saints plural? I've always been, as far as I know, it's always plural. You don't see the lone Christian out there. We're not wired that way.
By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments.
If we love the children of God.
You know, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The only way they cannot be grievous is by us changing our desires. Or just putting off the stuff. I don't need to look out for myself. I don't need to look out for number one.
Change your mind.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's something you choose to do.
Absolutely.
Well, He said He'd give you the desires of your heart. So the change of the desire isn't even something. We choose to serve, and then through all these issues that come up, this is part of how...
Position is a position of fear. So you're actually either choosing to love Him and obey Him, and love the other brethren, and be ministers to those who don't know him, or you can choose the fear. The fear, the position of fear, says I have to gather all this stuff to myself because I need respect, I need things, I need stuff, I need to look out for number one. That's a position of fear. That's not a position of faith.
It's not a position of peace either.
No. Then you're always worried about being able to keep all the stuff that you. I need security. I need a security detail here.
I'll save money, and then they'll enact quantitative easing, and then even though the dollar amount remains the same, the value goes away. Oh, well, I'll buy land, but if I don't have the money to pay the taxes, I'll find out who owns my land. Hmm. There's no security in that.
You sound bitter.
Luckily, I don't have any money, so no, it didn't really affect me.
Let's see there. Well, the Lord is good.
God is good.
Laying up maybe a minute and a half.
Good place. You know, one thing I do want to say before, you know, that's part of laying down that good foundation and not holding your treasures on this earth, but laying treasures for store in heaven.
Tithes, offerings, alms.
And, you know, it's about doing what he would have, letting go all the stuff, because you're not going to take any of this stuff out.
Ain't no luggage rack on a hearse.
It's all going to go away.
That's right.
But that which is of God's will remain for eternity.
Yeah.
And how many times do you have to make decisions, just choosing to walk the walk that he's got for you to walk?
452, I don't know.
Every moment.
Every other breath.
Yeah.
But there is confidence in a recompense of reward. There's a reward for those who diligently seek him and diligently serve him.
Amen.
Alright, that's going to do it for this week.
Thanks.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Brad.
God bless y'all.
It has been fun. We are going to be out of here. Scott Stevens coming up next with The Jesus Factor. And we just thank you for joining us, and we hope you had a good time. We hope we helped you somehow.
We're all over the place a little bit today.
Yeah, we were all over the place, but, you know, the Lord's good.
Amen.